there's a lot of conversation about elevated experience, but what does the consumer say it is? They say it's four things. They want to do business with somebody that's thoughtful, a company that's kind, goes the extra mile. Third, they want to do business with an individual in a company that cares enough. And fourth, they want somebody in a company that's empathetic.
Hey, what's up, branding experts? Arik here, and welcome to On Branding Podcast. And today I have a very special guest, Richard Wellman. And Richard is an award-winning consultant, and he's a Hall of Fame speaker and the best-selling author. And his newest book is 100 Proven Ways to Acquire and Keep Clients for Life. Hello, Richard. Thanks for joining us today.
All right. Good to be with you. Thank you.
Thank you. So excited to be able to speak to you. So first off, what inspired you to write your new book?
Well, I've been involved in the consulting world for many years, but prior to all of that, I sold cookware, encyclopedias, cemetery plots, family Bibles. I was in the automotive business. I sold all different types of industrial supplies, et cetera. And I always made me realize that relationships drive revenue, and it always has. So as a consultant, that's been the basis of our work to help people brand effectively, help individuals connect with consumers. So I've written two previous books, both of which are bestsellers. And I began to think about the fact that there's been this massive shift in the way consumers are thinking right now, whether it's B2B or B2C, there's this great reevaluation. Am I with the right provider? Am I with the right company? Am I buying the right product? Am I going to the right restaurant? Do I have the right dry cleaner? Do I have the right real estate agent, financial advisor? So as a result of that, as it dawned on me that we're going through this great reevaluation, it dawned on me the only real solution is to really focus on the great re-engagement. And that's where consumers are today. Since that pandemic, people realize, look, I got a lot of choices here. Everything's pretty much commoditized. I want to do business where I feel like I'm in the right place with the right individuals. So that's what prompted me to write the book. Thank you.
Yeah, so it makes sense. There's a great shift now. There's so many businesses, medium-sized, large businesses. There's a lot of competition in any industry, basically. So you basically argue that we need to pay more attention to the experience we provide rather than products and services, because at the end of the day, as entrepreneurs, we pay utmost attention to our products and services, right? We want to constantly improve upon them. But you argue in your book that actually the experience is equally important, if not even more important, right? So can you elaborate on that, please?
Yeah, exactly. So when we hear a lot of people talk about elevating the client experience or the customer experience, and what they're really talking about is the great journey customers are on. We don't want them on a journey. We want them to come do business with you. Arik, if you're running a business, I want them to come to your business, stay with your business, and not be on some journey trying to go somewhere else. So that's the first thing. So the reality is we began to interview people and in our consulting work and ask people, what does an elevated experience mean to you? And it's not all of this psychobabble, galaxy level, you have to be centric. What they really want is somebody to personalize and humanize and build a relationship with them. They want to be recognized. They want to feel as though they're significant to you. They don't want to be a transaction. So when you ask yourself, okay, what does that really mean, an elevated experience? Work in interviewing people, over 80% of people said the experience they have is at least half the value, shall we say, the engagement they have. So you're correct. Listen, every business owner, every salesperson, we're in love with our product and our platform and our procedures and our processes, and that's wonderful. But the consumer's in love with the experience they have and the outcome you deliver. So if you elevate the experience by personalizing and humanizing, you make a deep connection. And that deep connection, as we all found out in the pandemic, is what drives revenue. Let me just say this briefly for you. There are four components that when we interviewed people, we asked them, what do you mean by an elevated experience? Because I think that's what's missing. And that's why I wrote the book, because it dawned on me, I've seen all this work and I'm in the Customer Experience Hall of Fame and I've talked to the few individuals there. And as I've talked to them, there's a lot of conversation about elevated experience. But what does the consumer say it is? They say it's four things. They want to do business with somebody that's thoughtful, a company that's kind, goes the extra mile. Let's put it that way. Third, they want to do business with an individual in a company that cares enough to find out what their real issues are, what they're really trying to solve. That's where they want to be. And fourth, they want somebody in a company that's empathetic, somebody that sits on their side of the table. So in other words, it can't be all about you as a company. It needs to be how you can communicate with them from their point of view. So four things: kindness, thoughtfulness, caring, and empathy. And when you bring those into a relationship, you end up not just with delighted, satisfied customers, you end up with delighted advocates.
Yes, and that actually brings us to the next thing I wanted to talk about, because in your book, you actually highlight empathy as a key tool, right? So can you just elaborate on that? You touched upon that just now, but can you just elaborate on how empathy can help us transform those client relationships and what it actually means to be empathetic?
It's a wonderful question. And just to give you a little backstory, Stephen Covey wrote about this years ago when he talked about if you're empathetic, defensive energy goes down and positive energy replaces, and that opens the door for, shall we say, more creative solutions. And those were a derivation of his words. So it's not an exact quote, but that was the direction he was taking his thought process, which I thought was remarkable. And when we talk about being empathetic, it's one thing to say, Eric, I'm empathetic about your situation. However, and then we go right on and go back to our agenda. The thing I really wrestled with for a long time as I was writing the book and coaching, we're fortunate to have a large coaching division and we coach a lot of people and consult with a lot of different companies, a lot of different industries. And I always ask myself, how can we demonstrate that we're empathetic? And it occurred to me, it's the way we ask questions, because that verbal communication or even written art is the first place we have that touch point with the consumer. So if I were to say to you, just as an, I'm going to give you two illustrations. Let's say you're in the financial business, and I would say, how much money are you going to invest? What we normally start off with is we want to know how much money they're going to invest. So we say things. If you don't mind me asking, Eric, how much money are you going to invest? As soon as I say, if you don't mind me asking, immediately the defensive walls go up. Or if I were to say, yeah, if you don't mind me asking, how much are you going to spend on a house? Or if you don't mind me asking, how many times you've been married? If you don't mind, and we preface it with the right predicate, if you don't mind me asking. The challenge with that is it creates defensive energy. Mm-hmm. And I had an epiphany moment when I was writing the book at 3 a.m. I sat straight up in bed and yelled, it's the predicate. My wife woke up and said, a predator, where? I said, no, it's the predicate. She said, what are you doing? I said, it's the predicate's the problem. Put the predicate on the back. So we began to coach and we began focus groups, and it was unbelievable. The response, as soon as we put the predicate on the back, people go empathetic. They push the button. If I put it on the front, aggressive. If I would say, if you don't mind me asking, how old are you? Aggressive. We flipped it around. How old are you if you don't mind me asking? Empathy, 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 empathy. 87% of people push the empathy button when you put the predicate on the back. It's a simple answer, but it is one that every single one of us can use. And that's why I wrote the book, because when I talk about 100 proven ways, every single one of these types of things are illustrated with here's what to do, how to do, and then a story to help deliver it into anyone's business. Is that helpful?
Yes, yes, that makes sense. Definitely makes sense. Experience is extremely important. Empathy is extremely important. So can you just, so obviously in your book, which is titled 100 Ways to Acquire New Clients, can you just give us some few key strategies, maybe some strategies that are often overlooked by business owners on how to actually acquire new clients or customers?
Okay, first things first, you want to communicate from their perspective. In other words, if you're going to talk to me about the air conditioning system you want to sell me, you need to tell me what that means to me. What we've determined is that most people that we interviewed said the problem is most of people who are in sales don't really tell us what the outcome's going to be. They talk about the product, the platform, the attributes, the features, but they don't talk about the advantage it's going to bring to my household or to me as an individual. That's one. Secondly, always identify next steps. We ask consumer after consumer, why didn't you make a decision after a great? Because most salespeople never talk about the next steps. They say things like, so what do you think? How's that sound to you? So doesn't that make sense? But they never give us next steps, and adults love steps. So that's another thing you can do to make sure that all of your salespeople, and if you're a sales or service professional, always talk about next steps. And then fundamentally, it really gets down to the way we interact with people. As an example, what people don't like is when we're aggressive. If I came into your store and said, what can I do for you? How can I help you? I don't know the answer to that. I'm coming with a problem or I'm looking for something. Why don't we start out? Thank you so much for coming into the store. How may I help you is what many people have been taught. But how about, thank you for coming into the store, and I'll give you an illustration. Lexus, when you go into a dealership, they ask you, why do you want to buy a Lexus? And people say, this is why I want to buy a Lexus. And the bottom line is, then the next question they ask is, who do you want to buy it for? By the time you answer those two questions, you're already told the story. Now the only question is, what color do you want? So it's about engaging them and getting the consumer to tell their story. One of the complaints I heard over and over again and hundreds of people I interviewed is salespeople don't let the consumer tell their story. They're much more focused on trying to solve a problem, which is fine. But unless I have the whole story, I perhaps will miss an opportunity to solve the whole problem. And I'll just give you a couple other things. Be careful how you communicate with people. Salespeople all the time, I'm calling to follow up. What does that mean? What does that mean? You're calling to follow up. I got nothing more to offer you, Ark, but I'm just hoping you made a decision. What you need to do when you call people, don't call to follow up or touch base. You call to tell them that you're calling for what? To give them next steps. Here's some next steps to help you. I've thought about this for a few times, Ark. And since we met last time, I've identified two additional steps we can take to get your financial life in balance. And you're immediately going to be, oh, what are those? Now we're not following up. We're engaging in a conversation. Another thing, when you sign your emails, don't sign it sincerely yours. They think it's institutional. And the number one most detested was best. People went crazy. I'd say, how do you feel about it when somebody signs your email best? They're like, best what? Best for them? Best for me? I think it's a little bit too prickly, but it's okay. So we ask them, what do you like? They like warm regards, kind regards. So I put that in the book. If you're going to sign your emails, let's be what? Gracious. Let's engage with people. That makes all the difference in the world. We can talk many things, and I know we only have limited time, but hopefully that's somewhat helpful.
It is very helpful. So some of my key takeaway, and I love the examples, by the way, and I hope we can get you to give us a few more examples, but just a key summary for our audience. It all comes down to the messaging and how you talk about your products. So don't talk about features, talk about the benefits, talk about the outcome, focus on your customers, step into their shoes, so, and think from their perspective, what do they want? And then big thing you just highlighted is you need to have a clear idea of how you can take them from A to B and identify those steps and engage the consumer and let them talk, ask them questions, let them tell their story. And as you gave us the example with Lexus, and you also mentioned some other brands in your book, like Chewy, Amazon, Airbnb. Maybe you can give us a few more examples. I think our audience would love that, just to illustrate those principles.
Okay, let's start with Chewy. Chewy's one of the things that prompted me to write the book, quite frankly. I was about a year and a half ago, I was speaking in Nashville, Tennessee. Mark, I speak a lot of conferences all over the world. And I don't know, 1,000 ballroom full of people, 1,000 to 1,200 people, something like that. And I was speaking about elevating the client experience to stand apart from the competition for this large company. And so I was about 20 minutes into the presentation. And I said, as an aside, I saw on LinkedIn this morning, this woman posted about her cat. And I said, it's really interesting. I said, she had a standing order with Chewy for cat food and it came every month. This month, the cat food came. She called Chewy on the phone and said, hey, my cat has died. I want to return the cat food. And the rep at Chewy said, absolutely not. You cannot return that cat food. And of course, now the audience is like, rrr. But the rep went on and said, we want you to donate it to a shelter and we'll give you 100% credit on the bill. The audience just went, ooh, cool. And I said, but that's only part of the story. I said, the rest of the story is 3 days later, she got a bouquet of flowers from the rep at Chewy and a condolence card. And at that instant, at that instant, in the middle of the audience, a woman stands up and screams, that was my cat. I posted that on LinkedIn this morning.
That's an amazing story. I love it.
And so I just stopped. I said, ladies and gentlemen, what does this tell us about advocacy? And the whole audience starts chanting, we're switching to Chewy. We're switching to Chewy. If you need any more evidence, there's evidence right there. But let me give you another one. You ask about Chick-fil-A. I knew True Kathy. Of course, he's passed away now from skin cancer, but a wonderful guy and had lots of great conversations with that organization and with him. But he always said to me, Richard, I'm not in the chicken business. Everything I'm in chicken sandwich business, we're in the people business. And he said, we're always going to be kind and gracious. And if you really think about our country, the United States, the reality is, what is the number one per revenue per store of any fast food chain in the United States? And it's Chick-fil-A. Now, keep in mind, Chick-fil-A is closed 52 days a year. So that basically means that November 15th, they close until the end of the year, if you want to do it a different way, not just Sundays. Now, but yet they're beating everybody else that's open, many of them 24 hours a day, 365. Why is that? Well, chicken sandwiches are good. Okay, I'll grant you that. But I've gone down the line and interviewed people. Why are you at Chick-fil-A? They're so gracious. They're always nice here. They treat us good. They're good to the kids. They're always polite. Where are we as a country? My pleasure, please, and thank you is driving the number one revenue into fast food. It's like anybody that doubts that level of emotional connection does not drive revenue. People feel a connection to Chick-fil-A because why? People are kind and gracious at Chick-fil-A. It just is an illustrative point. But just think about that. Please, thank you, and my pleasure is driving record revenue. Imagine what would happen in your business if you took these 100 proven ways to acquire and keep clients for life in the book and just put some of them into your business, most of which costs no money, changes the game. I'll give you one more, may I, very quickly. Yeah. I do a lot of work in the real estate business coaching, and Barbara Corcoran's got a team out in Hawaii that I've worked with. And they would send somebody buy a house or they get a listing, they'd send them a congratulations cake, a round cake that said congratulations. So they said, hey, we're going to send a cake. I said, oh, great. Let me see the cake. Oh, it's just a round cake with congratulations on it. I said, take it to another level. Why don't you have a cake? It can be round, but have a house outline in the frosting with the house number on it and say, congratulations on your dream home as a caption on the cake. They said, they were like, oh, they sent it out. It got posted on Facebook. It ended up with one new client and three new listings because people thought that was amazing. Now, here's the other point, though. Don't send it to the people's home. Send it to their office. Why? Because it's going to end up in a break room. Oh, who sent you the cake?
Yeah.
Let's say you're an investor. And let's say, all right, I'm your financial advisor. And you've made an investment with me, whatever today's date is. Okay. Now, next year at the same date, I'm going to send you congratulations, another successful year as an investor. And I'll send you a cake and I'm going to send it to your office. And you're going to be sitting there cutting the cake up in the great room. And people are going to say, hey, Eric, where'd you get this? My advisor sent to me. He congratulates me every year for doing business with. Really? I haven't heard from my dude in 6 months. What's his name? Next thing you know, you get an introduction. Just one final note. In Sarasota, Florida, there is a donut shop right next to the police station. The name of it is 5-0 Donuts. Pretty good name. Right next to the police station. Their tagline is arrestingly good donuts. I put it in the book. Why? August 4th, 2018, I bought my first donut there. I'm not a donut guy, but August 4th, I bought one. Now, how do I know? Because every August 4th, I get a text from them. Congratulations, another successful year as a loyal customer. Take $5 off your next donut order. And then ask yourself, when's the last time you bought a car and you never heard from those people? When's the last time you got your air conditioning fixed and you never heard from? When's the last time you bought a suit?
Yeah, so that's retention, right? So that's retention. Acquisition is important, but retention is as crucial as acquisition, right? And yeah. These are great stories and great examples. And if you guys want more, check out the book. Is now available for pre-orders on Amazon and other places. So we're going to link to your new book. And for those who just maybe have some questions or want to connect with you, what's the best way to get in touch?
Best way to do it, just go to Richard Weilman. I'll spell it for you. W-E-Y-L-M-A-N. RichardWeilman.com. I've uploaded a series of whole videos too. They're all free. Just go to videos. You can watch them. They're 2-minute little segments. Great for your little sales meetings or just for daily, get you in the frame of mind. And you can, the information on the book. And of course, I do a great deal of speaking all over the world. And we do a lot of consulting and coaching. And there's lots of case studies there that will perhaps seat your mind on some solutions you're looking for. So it's Richard, W-E-Y-L-M-A-N.com. And I look forward to helping you in any way that I can.
Thank you so much. Thanks for being on the show. I appreciate that.
Thank you. My pleasure.